So it's really good to be here. San Diego is a very blessed city. California is a very beautiful place. When we landed in LAX, we drove from Downey. We spent the night in Downey and drove up to Sacramento via the 1 and 101. I didn't realize it was so far. Eventually, we had to get back over onto the 5. Growing up, all I knew was Disneyland and San Diego. So I didn't realize that there's a whole nother part of California. And it's filled with literally fruits and nuts and cows. And for those of you that are maybe a little bit not familiar with me, I grew up here in North Park, Golden Hills, downtown San Diego. I had a bicycle, so I made sure I spanned quite a few neighborhoods. So unfortunately, I used drugs and alcohol. My choice was crystal methamphetamine, so that kept my bicycle moving quite quickly all night long. So yeah, I went from Sherman Heights all the way to East San Diego probably almost every day, unless I had to go to school. So those days that I didn't feel well, I would continue riding my bicycle. So, I got saved and I came landed here at North Park Christian Fellowship, and it's been a great ride. From the age of, I think I was 24 when I came here. I'm 46 now. So, God has been good to us. He's been providing for us, and I just want to share a couple of testimonies of while I've been here, God has really been moving around. And last Sunday, Pastor Steve, when he was closing the service, he said, "You know, it's coming. The Spirit of God is moving. We need to be ready." And I think we are ready. I think it's now. It's around us. There's people around us that need Jesus. They need to be prayed for. They need healing. They need salvation. They need the whole package. They need the kingdom. They need to be gently walked into God's kingdom with the love, and we're it. We're the message. We're the package. All the packages look different sizes, different shapes, but it's here. It's in our hearts. The gospel message. We're written epistles, supposedly read and seen by all men. They will see the light of Christ in us. So I was going to breakfast with my mom, and there's a young people. Because I'm old now, 46. They must have been in their 20s. So, but they were in the street. Something was happening. I don't know what was happening. A lot of speculations, especially watching news nowadays. I can come up with a lot of conspiracy theories nowadays. So, I won't do that. I won't bore you guys. I got out of the car and I said, "Do you need a paramedic?" And they said, "No, we're okay." And then I said, "Well, can I pray for you?" And the young man looked at me and said, "Sure." So I walked over there, prayed for the girl, something wrong with her leg, crying, dry heaving. So we prayed for her, and she calmed down, and we put her in the car. And I looked at the young man that was with her, and I said, "Are you guys going to church?" And he said, "Yeah, Wednesday and Sunday." And just in my spirit, you know, God was just, something was wrong. Something was wrong there. And I said, "It's time to engage. It's time to get right. It's time to, you know, take it a step further." And while I was talking to him, the police came. And I didn't know there's another car behind me with his back window busted out. And when we were driving away, the young couple that I was talking to, their windshield was broken. So something had gone on there. And God used me for a few minutes just to say a prayer. Ask God to heal the girl and encourage them. And the other day we did Cal's Mountain. I've never did Cal's Mountain my whole entire life. But on the way down, my wife saw a man, Phoebe and Emily, who are downstairs making Philippine food. Please don't miss it. He had slipped, I guess, and he was having trouble. I didn't see him fall, but I thought he was having a heart attack because of the way he was breathing. And there's another young couple there trying to like over help him, I guess. And I just got on my knees and looked at him and I said, "Can I pray for you?" and I prayed for him. And I didn't know he had fallen. Like I said, I thought he was having a heart attack. I said, do you know Jesus? Because I thought this man might be leaving us right now. And I just said, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes. And then he stood up and he said, I want to stand up. So we stood him up. We walked him to his car. He called a buddy of his. You know, he turned on his car, got some air conditioning going. We got him some water. But this is what God wants us to be doing. He doesn't want us to overlook these people. He wants us to stop, get out of the car, and pray for them. This morning, I don't know what happened to my foot, my ankle, on the stair here. And it was like I couldn't walk. I was like I almost was scared to take another step. I was like a one-footed animal, so we don't eat those. Just two-footed. So I was like, wow, I did hurt my ankle the other day while walking at Cal's Mountain. I slipped. I don't know if Emily and them saw me. Nobody saw me. I slipped, and I was like, oh, okay, nobody's around. Woo! I prayed for myself. I was like, Lord, help me. But this morning, it hurt. And then when I went into the prayer room, Stevie was saying his ankle hurt. The same ankle, the right ankle, because we don't want it to be the wrong ankle. So, bad joke. It's like when the angel of the Lord was standing on the right side when Zacharias went into the temple to burn the incense. It was good that the angel was on the right side, not the wrong side. Good job. You guys are theological. So I asked Stevie, I said, you know, he said, it's my right foot. I said, mine too. So we had Richard pray for us. We just stuck our foot up there. He gave it a Chinese massage. And he said, do you want Thai, Chinese, or Swedish? I said, I'll take the Chinese. Steve took the Swedish, and then, but God healed it. There's no more pain. It's gone. And Stevie's too. It's gone. And it's amazing. It was just like, wow. I said, I might dance on the stage this morning. I'm so excited. Okay, there. So it's good to celebrate too. When there's victories, even if they're small ones, it's good to celebrate. A friend of ours had been sick for quite a couple of weeks. Everybody's having these coughs in San Diego. And she said she's better. So guess what we did? We went to the food court at the Grossmont Mall and celebrated. I got a burrito. They got Chinese food. It was all good. And we celebrated that God can heal and God does heal. So if you guys can humor me, I think we need to pray for each other. For those of you that have a cough or aches in your body, let's stand up right now. Let's stand up. And if just look around. If you got an ache in your body, if you got a cold, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. And let's lay hands on each other. So look around. See those people that got their hands raised. You know, let's pray for each other. Let's hold hands. Let's rub each other's tummies, whatever you do. Let's not make it religious. Okay, and let's make it simple, okay? Just make it simple. Father, your goodness on these bodies, these coughs, these colds, these high blood pressures, Father, these bodies are belong to you, and we just say your goodness on them. We say your healing touch on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And God has just been, when I was walking the other morning, God was giving me this word about praying for each other, for healing. And when Steve said his ankle hurted and my ankle was hurting, I was like, oh my goodness, God is moving here through my broken ankle. No. But God uses those things. And later on, I'm going to share kind of some highlights from our year, from 2019, which had some highs and some lows. I think a lot of us had some highs and lows. 2019 and 2020 is not setting out so awesome either. So, but it keeps us close to the Lord. And are there some videos or some pictures up there now? Okay. So let me I'm going to turn mine on over here so I don't got to stand over there. So the first slide is escalator, right? Yeah. So the you know, got the up and the down, the highs and the lows of 2019 for us. And what I'm sharing is the highs, because it's so important to share God's goodness. Because when we're sharing God's goodness, it encourages other people. It encourages maybe even people we don't know. You know, when we can share what God has been doing in our life, the goodness of God to others around us, it's very important. So the next slide, did it move?
Yeah.
Great. So this is, it might move, the picture might move. So this is a trip that Emily went to Heiko. Emily's more the missionary than I am. I work at an international church now. I took Bibles for 8 years into China. And then when I became a dad, I just got this big heart for kids. And I can't stop staring at them sometimes. I just think, wow, God wants to touch them. I got the Sunday school kind of bug thing. You know, you just get it. You can't get rid of it. It's just there. You love kids. You want to play with them, socialize with them. Because kids are social by nature. They just want to be your friend. And here we are as adults with this, with our curriculum, trying to teach them something, and they just want to play. And I mean, I'm not a good teacher, so I put down the lesson plan, and I play with them, and I talk to them about their day, talk to them about Jesus. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing Sunday school ministry at an international church. But Emily has been taking more trips, and praise the Lord that she's able to do that. And thanks to you guys' prayers and support, Emily's able to do these trips. It makes life a little hairy for me, because that leaves me at home with a 13-year-old who's starting to take care of me now. She's made me dinner the other night. It was a big giant bowl of, I don't know what it was, but I ate it. It's good, Phoebe. Thank you. So at this place, I'm not sure if Pastor Steve shared with you guys, but they were some kind of like specialists, you know, Pastor Steve and the team and Yvonne. It's not agriculture, it's environmentalists. So they had the theme, they had to teach on the theme of environment. And the cool thing about this area was it was the first time to have, I guess, foreigners there to teach, to go there, kind of break some ground for the long-termers. And then, did it switch to the Philippines?
Yeah.
Great. Emily went to the Philippines with another team from Colorado. And there they were just able to go alongside of some other just Philippine ministers, encourage them, participate with them there in the Philippines. And Emily will be downstairs, so if you guys have questions about her trips or how God used her or how God moved through her, please go down and speak to her. And what we're praying and hoping to do either this year or maybe next year is that we'll have our own kind of Barrett-initiated team for Emily to lead. And, you know, we'll break it up. We'll do, like, China, Hong Kong. There's ministry in Hong Kong also. And Philippines, Thailand. We're not sure yet, but kind of really break it up, give people give people a variety of ministry there in the Southeast Asia. The next picture is me, right? With some kids. Okay, some boys. So this is Kota Kinabalu, which is in Malaysia, in Sabah. And if you don't know, Malaysia is a Muslim country. So they're not allowed to... The Malay people are not allowed to be Christians. Even on their ID card, it says Muslim. Like, by nature, by birth, they're all Muslims. And there's a lot of boys' homes and girls' homes and children's homes there, because the parents can't necessarily, the parents still want their kids, but they need help to raise them, to get them to school. So these kind of homes are run by government and also by nonprofit. This one we went to, we did a lot of children's ministry when we went there. These boys are being taken care of by a Japanese man who, I don't know if you guys know the history, but Japan waged a lot of war in these regions and destroyed a lot of countries, Philippines, Pearl Harbor, things like this. But this Japanese man got saved. And when he got saved, he wanted to give back. And so he went, he moved to Japan and started one of these boys' homes. He thought, what better place to start is with the youth or with the kids. And so he has a home there, a big house with to minister to these boys. They live there, they do chores there, and they go to school. And they have two stories that two boys have grown up there, and they're even venturing off into university. One of them wants to be a lawyer, the other one wants to be a chef. So there's some success there. And the great thing about this is the Japanese man has some ties with a university in Japan. And he gets these university students to come and do this kind of work program, agricultural work program, farming, and they pay. So the university students pay, and that's how the Japanese guy gets funds to continue to run this house, continue to raise these kids. We went there, we handed out these soft toys and played a lot of games with them. And we did this activity called the Father's Hug. I don't know if you've never done this, but some people that haven't had affection in the home, like physical affection, they need it. I mean, you can tell somebody all you want how much you love them, but when you give them a hug, it's very beneficial. It's very important. So I'm a big guy. These guys are small, you know. So here I am giving the Father's Hug, you know, to these little guys. And they were crying. We were all crying. I was crying. I was like, oh, my goodness, I can't stop myself from crying. Even now, it's so touching to give somebody the Father's Hug. So the next slide is, it says Hong Kong. Is that right? Oh, good. You can read. You can read Chinese, too. Great.
Yes, Hong Kong in that language, too.
Pretty close. Yeah, pretty close the same. So a lot of you probably know there's protests in Hong Kong, and part of me doesn't share about Sunday school ministry because it's very repetitious. You know, kids come, kids go, Jesus, 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 song, 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 pray, pray, pray. So, but this moment, this is during a heavy time of protests, and the train was shut down because they're throwing those cocktail bombs inside, lighting things on fire. And this road here was covered with bricks and all kinds of bus signs and fences, and it was a mess. Maybe a good quarter mile a mess on both sides of the road. Obviously, I couldn't get to work. I was gonna try to ride a bus, but I couldn't get on the bus because they had vandalized the bus station and they painted the bus windows black, so we couldn't take the bus. They're very creative in their getting out their message. So, as I'm walking back home, I saw the locals cleaning the roads. I call them the aunties and uncles because, you know, they're in their 50s, 60s. They're cleaning the roads, and so I started helping them, and we're just pushing bricks to the side, moving boulders, guard railings. I mean, they were heavy, and the great thing was that people would stop and help us. Because some of the things are very heavy. They would see me out there trying to move it, and they would just stop and come and help. And we cleaned the entire road. And towards the end, what I had done is I got this big piece of plywood, and I was just moving lots of bricks, you know, with one push. Obviously, I was causing a scene. I wasn't one of those Chinese aunties just moving one brick at a time. I was being a American, you know, loud, obnoxious. Even I was like, yeah. So when we were done, don't do this at home. Kids, don't do this. So listen to your mom and dad. Do what they say. Be obedient. So when we were done, one of the guys said, hey, be careful. They're watching us. They're watching you. And I looked up, and there's these little pockets of these young people, 20 in their 20s. And I assume, oh, these are the guys that had made the mess, and I'm out here cleaning it. You know, they're trying to disrupt traffic. I'm trying to make a way for it. So I went ahead and left. I was leaving for home, and one of them came and caught me. And this guy was very interested in me. And because of the situation, I mean, I patted him down. I gave him a pat down. Make sure he didn't have any weapons. And he said, oh, I don't have any weapons. But he let me frisk him anyway. So I said, do you want Chinese, Swedish, or Thai massage? So we were just standing there talking, and I asked him, are you being loved? He said, well, yeah, my parents take care of me. He lives at home. He goes to Chinese University, Hong Kong. The government pays for his studies. It's a very interesting situation in Hong Kong. And he said, but I said, do you sit down and talk? Everybody's on their phone in Hong Kong because we're public transportation people. So we can have our phone in front of our face the whole day. So if you go to Hong Kong, go to a restaurant, you see families sitting there to eat, and they're all on their phones, even the kids, 9, 10 years old, 7 years old, babies. There's no social interaction with them. So I gave them the father's hug. I said, hey, you know, I love you. Jesus loves you. And I gave him a big hug, gave him the father's hug. And I said, do you want to go have coffee? Because after moving bricks for 3 hours, I was hungry. I was like, hey, I'm hungry. I was dirty and hungry. I looked like when I used to work in the shipyard down there at Southwest Marine. He said, sure. So for 2 hours, I shared my testimony with him. And I told him all about my life. Talking about my mom, my dad, a broken home, drugs, God delivering me from those drugs. And he listened, and he listened, and he listened. We talked politics a little bit, but I'm not political. I told him, keep your message. You can keep your message, but I said, you got to put Jesus first. And come to find out, during our conversation, he had gone to a Christian, like, elementary school. So he's heard the message, and I told him, this is not about me cleaning up your bricks or cleaning your mess. This is about me being here in front of you and causing you to remember that message about Christ's love. And I told him, tell your friends who I am, because I'm sure his friends were interested in me. I said, I'm not political. I said, I love Jesus, and I want people to know Jesus. And I told him, if you put Jesus first in your life, he'll give you a place to share that message. He'll put you before the authority here in Hong Kong. And your message will be heard a lot more better than it would be if you were to do, I call it a creative act of demonstration, them polluting the road and vandalizing the city. I said, it'll be far better than that, because I said, that's ugly, right? He said, yeah. I said, that's why I want to clean it up, because actually that area, I lived there for about 10 years. So I said, this is my area. I've been here 16 years. I said, I'm just being a responsible citizen and tidying up. So we left each other. I gave him one more father's hug. I prayed for him, took his number down, hoping to see him again. And when we looked down, because we're on the second floor, we looked down at the road that I had just cleaned, and it was all covered with bricks again. They had gone out there, and I was like, inside, I was like, I want to give you something right now. No. You want Swedish, Thai, or Chinese? No. He was smiling at me, and I said, hey, this is great, because God's mercy and grace, we should be angry. I should be angry, but I'm not, because I just sat down with you and told you all about Jesus for the past 2 hours. And I said, plus, I am so tired right now. I just want to go home. My wife had been calling me. I was just neglecting her calls, and I said, I'm going home now. So I left him. But it was a great opportunity to share the love of Christ, and it's so important that we keep our eyes and our hearts open for these situations so that we can be used by God. Next picture says Dave and Olga. Great. So Dave and Olga came to Hong Kong. Dave saw all the protests on the news. He's one of these guys that he lives in Delaware. He has a big cross sometimes in his yard that says Jesus saves, or one of those big giant signs in his yard that says you need Jesus. He's one of these guys that just loves to get out the message. So he called me up and he said, "Byron, I'm coming. I got Chinese tracks. I'm ready." He didn't even tell his wife. His wife called my wife and was like, "What? Dave's going to Hong Kong?" And we're like, "Yeah, he's coming with tracks." So they both came. They both came. His wife is from the Philippines. And it was just a great... The problem was that the protest got really heavy and we couldn't even leave the house to go and hand out tracks. But a few days before he left, it calmed down. And we just went around our neighborhood passing out tracks, Gospel of John tracks to the Chinese people. Not to the protesters, but just to the people around us. He's very brave. He wanted to go to where the protesters were, but our wives felt that it wasn't a good idea. So we listened. We listened to our wives. That's what we do. So, yes, ma'am. Because they cook really good. So that's what I mean. I mean, she's making spring rolls down there with turkey, because two legs, right? Pastor C. Yeah, so, oh man, they melt in your mouth. I just pop them in there like Hershey Kisses, like don't. They're good, so don't miss that. And just a few more minutes. I've been reading Luke chapter 1 for like a long time, and just a quick overview. I just found it interesting that even in Zacharias and Elizabeth's, I usually say Zach and Beth for the Sunday school kids. Zach and Beth, even in their old age, I mean, the wife was barren, Zacharias was old. God heard their prayer. Sometimes we got to wait, and God still used them. So I've been thinking, I can't say I'm this or I'm that. When I'm a believer in Christ, when I'm a believer in the God that created the heaven and the earth, when I'm a Bible believer, I read those stories, how God raised people from the dead, how he healed, how he came to give sight to the blind, to give hope for the children of Israel. I can't say, well, my ankle hurts. I can't go upstairs and teach now, you know. Maybe you can do something on the phone. Or I can't say that. I got to stop and I got to pray. And that's one thing I notice about Zechariah and Elizabeth, that God still used them. And it was very special. They brought in the Savior. They brought in the real message, the true, the living message. And I think it was just a lesson for me to learn that I just need to continue to be about my business, whatever business it is that God has called you to do. Continue your career, but keep serving the Lord. Zacharias was just continually serving God and being faithful in that. And I think we and myself just need to continue to be faithful in that. Wherever you're at, I think being in the marketplace or working wherever you work is the... You're the missionaries. You're out there with the people. People like me, I'm like stuck in a little bubble. I wait for people to come on Sunday so I can minister to them. That's why I'm all excited when I see the kids. But you guys are out there in the streets, and God has a message inside of you that he wants you to get out to those around you. You hear somebody coughing next to you at work? Ask them if you can pray for them, you know? Somebody's hurting in their family, ask them if you can pray for them. It's amazing. I've been getting a lot of messages how people are not feeling well. I just put healing for you. Healing, healing, and more healing for you. You know, bless you. So I'm going to pass it back. It's this thing. So it should be the last slide, right? The communion slide. Yeah. Is it? Oh, next. Is it on the communion? Oh, how about now? Okay. So, I like North Park Christian Fellowship. I don't go around and share at any other places. I'm so happy that you guys are like my family. You are my family. You're my brothers and my sisters. This place has been home for me since I got saved. And it's been great just growing with you guys and loving the Lord with you guys and fellowshipping with you guys. And I just hope that what God has been doing in our lives has encouraged you just to be about the Father's business. And pray for me because I'm doing this. I'm still in Calvary Chapel University. I'm doing a doctorate degree in education. So my brain is just like, I'm in my last year. I have all this dissertation thing to write. I can't even say it right all the time. So my brain is overloaded. I cannot read or write anymore. But God will do it. And I'm glad I can just get up here and be real and be honest with you guys. So, amen. Pastor Steve.
Thank you, Dr. Byron. Yeah. Somebody asked me, why don't you go back and get your diploma? You know, I haven't even got my diploma. Obviously, I got kicked out of high school. I'm 60 years old. Why do I need a diploma, right? It's like, I'm happy where I'm at. And I'll be more happier when Jesus comes back. But you're right. You know, we have to be about the Father's business and everything. And there's so many opportunities. And just to let you know, witness. You know what I do? Every time I know if you're like, how many of you like paying your bills? Oh, you do like paying them? You like giving your money to your bills? Like me? Okay. I pay my bills, and you know, when you pay your bills to the creditors or whoever you're paying, you have to put the account numbers. Well, I purposely put not all the account numbers, but the last maybe four or five numbers, and then right after that, I always put Jesus Saves. And I've been doing that for, gosh, ever since I've been paying my bills. Back in the 90s, I've been doing it. So, you know how many times the credit card company has got a check? Every check they get, it says Jesus Saves on it. So, I don't know if a computer got saved or who got saved, but see, there's just so many opportunities to share your faith that you don't realize. And besides, we're here to water. We are here to plant seeds. We're not here to raise them up. That's God's job. We're just called to water and plant. God will raise them up. Amen? Go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, and we're going to talk about communion. I want to see how sharp you are, because I shared this back in 2015, I think it was. Maybe you remember this story, because, you know, communion is kind of, I love communion, I love doing the service and partaking. But sometimes, you know, you can get in this routine where, okay, it's something we do the first Sunday of the month, so it's just a routine thing. And then it can become routine in your relationship with the Lord. But I shared this story, I read it, and I thought, wow, this is exactly, I had to check myself. But the story goes on about a wife who was cooking a roast. You remember that story? No? Okay. Maybe a couple of you do. Where you know, she cuts the end off the roast, and then she puts it back into the pan and then into the oven. Well, obviously her husband asked her, why do you keep cutting off the ends? And she replied, because my mom always did. And then the next day the wife talks to the mom and asked her, why do you cut off the ends of the roast before putting it in the oven? She replied, because my mom always did. So both of them went to grandma and asked the same question. Grandma, why do you cut off the ends of the roast off before cooking it? And grandma replied, so it would fit in the pan. You know, again, the reason why I share that, because many times we do things without knowing why we do them. We just do them because they always been done that way, or we just never take the time to find out why we do them, or we're just going through the motions of doing things, and we don't even ask why. We just do it because that's the way it was, and I think we're a culture that's raised up like that. And the Lord knows this, and that's why he says we have to raise our children up in the ways of the Lord. Because if you don't raise your children up, they say by the time they turn 8, you'll lose them. Because look what's going out there. Look who's raising our children. TV, mostly video games. And you see the video games now? Now they're even realistic because you can put the little the headset over you and it's like you're in the game. I tried it once and I thought it was cool, but I got nauseous. I couldn't do it. And I said, no, this ain't for me. It's just not my, I'm not generation to do something like that. But if we don't raise our kids up, the world will raise them up. And then once they get past the 8th grade, when they graduate out of 12th grade, they go directly into college. They say that a high percentage in the 90s percent of Christian high school kids go back into the world. The reason why is because now they're experiencing freedom. They're experiencing partying and different people and sin. They have more freedom to sin. So it's so important that we understand why we do the things we do. And just like here with the first week of each month, you know, we do communion. And again, and I'm not saying this is you, but for many, it's just we do it because it's something that we always been doing on the first week of the month. And I don't know how the churches do it every Sunday, but there is some churches that do it every Sunday. And it can become a repetitious thing. And we find ourselves being content with that and comfortable with just going with it. Going with the flow. And it's okay where I'm at. As long as I believe in Jesus, as long as I'm saved, that's good enough. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter. I don't need to go any further than that. But when we come to take communion, it's much more than just going with the flow of things. It's more than just standing up, get in line, come down, take the bread, take the cup. Because God desires each one of us to follow after him, right? Isn't that his desires? His desire is that we comprehend him, that we follow him with boldness, with all understanding, and not blindly. And he says that to us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Listen to what Paul said. He said this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, how many here this morning, Christ is dwelling through your heart in your heart through faith, right? Amen? Well, he goes on and says that you may, the reason why is so that you will be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be able to be filled with the fullness of God. And this is God's desire, is that we know the love of Christ. And this is why we're doing communion. We're doing communion because of his great love and what he's done for us. And nowhere in Scripture does it tell us how often we should take communion. So if you want to take communion every day with the Lord, right on. Only that it says that when we do take it, we're to be reminded of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You got to remember what he did for you on the cross. And I wonder how often when we line up to take communion, how many times we partake of it. Are we partaking it in the way that our Lord desires us to partake of his supper? Are we doing it the way God wants us to? Or is it becoming just a routine? Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Because there Paul gives us the instructions of taking communion. And Paul goes on, he says this, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.' So examine yourself." This is Paul's whole purpose now. He's saying, we got to examine ourselves. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So again, we get this a portion of communion here, which we share many times. I mean, this is practically communion verse right here. This is communion scripture. If you're going to share anything about communion, it would be right here because it talks about it. And this passage right here that we just read, Paul gives us the instruction on how we have to have the heart, the right heart, when we're partaking the Lord's Supper. You got to have the right heart. And you got to understand the significance of what you're actually doing. Otherwise, it just becomes repetitious. Well, what is he saying here in these verses? One, the bread, which is broken in half. What does that represent? It represents his body, which was broken on the cross for us. And then the cup, his blood, that represents the blood that he shed on your behalf, on my behalf. I'm making it personal. So he broke it for me because it's a personal relationship. You can say it yourself. Hey, he did it for me. No, he did it for me. Yeah, no, he did it for me. So you make it personal. That's what we're called to do. And then corporately, we're doing it. He did it for us, for all of us. So this is what it represents. He died for us on the cross. He paid the price for us to what? To have eternal life with him in heaven. I think about Oscar in heaven right now. And I can imagine, it's just, I can't help but to think what he's doing. You know, say, hey, check it out. Moses, check it out. Check it out. You know what happened to me on the way to my mansion? Yeah, I ran into the Good Samaritan. And I was there with all the saints, and I started playing the guitar, you know, and I can't wait to get there, you know, just to see how that's going to be. It's going to be great. But each time we partake in communion, we're not only remembering what he did for us, but what we're doing is actually showing it as well. You're showing it. When you come up and take communion, you are actually literally showing and we're showing each of us, you know, that we're participating in the acknowledgement of what took place at the cross. That's what it's about. What he did on the cross, you're acknowledging it when you come up here, and how powerful that was, you know, and how very personal it is, because it's a very personal thing. You know, the graphic of what he did and what happened at the cross. Every one of us is showing what it means when we come up and we partake in communion and how it impacted our lives. Like Byron up here sharing how he used to be. You know, he used to ride his bike all over town because he was high. You know, and we all have similar stories, but in just different circumstances. We were all, if you weren't raised in a Christian home, we were all heading for hell. Bottom line. It don't matter how bad you were or even how good you were. Because there's many people who say, I'm a good person. I might not be a Christian, but I'm a good person. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you can honestly say, I'm a better person than Jesus, then you'll get to heaven. Because that would mean you would die on the cross too. You would have to die on the cross. And then you have to rise from the dead. Which that ain't gonna happen, because I guarantee you the first time they come up with the cat of nine tails, you're gonna cry like a baby. And you're gonna confess whatever. I mean, if it was me and I saw that, oh yeah, I'll go to the cross. Oh, okay, I did it. Don't whip me, you know. He went to the cross. He did it. And so we get this personal relationship when we come and we have sweet koinonia with Jesus. Because why? It impacted our lives. We're not the same no more. I'm not the same no more. What I used to do, I don't do anymore. That doesn't mean I'm not sinless, obviously. We sin, but I don't practice it no more. I'm able to say I don't practice sin. I don't get good at it. I don't wake up and say, I can't wait to get good at sin. Wow, it's going to be fun. I blow it once. I blow it. Actually, every day I blow it. But I take my thoughts into captivity. And through my obedience, that disobedience is destroyed. So again, we come together and we take communion, it gives each and every one of us just this awesome, humbling, loving opportunity to what? To renew our focus on Jesus. And every time we do it, it doesn't matter how many times you take communion. We're to do it with respect. We're to do it with obedience, with the love of Christ, and with just this deep sense of gratitude for what he did for us on the cross. That every time I do it, I want to remember what Jesus did for me. Because that's what Paul tells us to do. That we need to take communion in a worthy manner. Not in an unworthy manner. Don't do it in an unworthy manner. You know what? Thank Jesus that we're able to have communion with him. Thank him. That it's not man. Again, you know, I could be up here and say, okay, we're going to have communion. I'm going to serve you. Come down, kneel down, and I'm going to, you know, do that number. How many of you have been through that before, you know? We can come up and we can do it ourselves right before the Father. So what does it mean to partake in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? You got to remember when Paul was speaking about here in Corinthians, he was talking to the Corinthian believers. And at that time, they were kind of messed up. They were caught up in a great division. They were caught up in heresy, sexual immorality, self-deception, drunkenness. They were neglecting the poor. They were carelessly being careless in protecting the sanctity of the church, and they were being careless in approaching the Lord's Supper. So you can imagine what the church was going through. Kind of sounds like what's happening today in individual people's lives. So again, Paul was talking about, because of what they're doing, that was an indication of one having sin in their heart and practicing it in their lives. So you can tell the difference. You can tell when someone's practicing sin and when someone just blows it. You know, because we're fruit inspectors, right? Aren't you a fruit inspector? Jesus tells us that you'll know them by their fruit. And so again, when we come together, we there has to be this constant, our worthiness has to be in Jesus Christ. Because according to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it tells us that we are like an unclean thing and our righteousness is like a filthy rag. You can never come to the Lord in your own righteousness because you won't get very far. We have to come in Jesus Christ. And when we come, we have to live that life of what? Constant confession, constant repentance of him to him, and constant praise, receiving his mercy, his grace, and allowing Jesus to work in our lives. It's got to be a constant thing. It's not a one-time thing. This is what it is to be a Christian. We got to, it's a daily, constant act that we do when we participate in communion. That has to be communion. Actually has to be every day, every moment of our life with the Lord, right? It's a constant thing. So the right thing that we can do is to live and to walk in constant fellowship with Jesus. So that means we got to be consistent in our in actively meditating, actively talking with him through confession, repentance, through praise and worship, through prayer, through fellowship, through thanksgiving. All the things from above, it has to be a consistent, active walk with God. It's called a personal relationship. You have your personal relationship with the Lord. I love it. I don't want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Like Byron, just talking to people, talking, you see someone, just asking them to pray for them and doing all you can to talk Christianese, to share the love of the Lord, and mainly not even using words, but let them see it in your life. Look at what he says, and we're going to get prepare our hearts. Look what he says in verse 23. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which is also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take and eat, and this, do this, and this is my body, which is broken from you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He says, do this in remembrance. So it's more than just mentioning the death of Jesus. It means you have to actively Stir up your mind. You got to meditate upon the person of Jesus Christ. You got to meditate on what he actually did for you on the cross, because that's what's going to change your life, how he touched your life and he changed you. I'm thinking about all the love that he had for you, the miracles that he committed. Like Byron was talking about our foot. We were sitting in the prayer room. I was praying. All of a sudden, my foot started hurting like crazy. It broke my prayer. I took my focus off my prayer, and I'm like, oh, man, my foot is really hurting. I couldn't go like this, and I couldn't go like that because it was hurting. And then Byron says, "What? Which foot?" I said, "The right." He goes, "Oh, mine's hurting too." And I said, "Richard, how's your feet?" He said, "Oh, mine are great." So pray for our feet, brother. And so he did. He prayed for us. And no, I'm serious. Right after he got done praying, I asked Byron, "Is your foot still hurting?" He said, "No." I said, "Mine isn't either." It was amazing. Yeah, he's got the feet ministry now. That's awesome. We were hoping. Well, I was praying for that, brother. The feet ministry. So again, we see the miracles, the little miracles, and the love of how Jesus, you know what? Jesus was always giving. He was never taking. He was always serving and not wanting to be served. This is what he did. What he did for us, it brought us to him, but it also led him to the cross. It led him to the cross. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And this is why we're here. We're here to remember that he shed his blood and he broke his body and he shed his blood on the cross for us. So as we prepare our hearts, really make it personal and don't let it be a routine, but really think about what he did for you and remember he was always giving and never taking. And so don't ask what he can do for you, those famous words, but ask what you can do for him. And pray that the Lord will make you a better person. And this year will be the year of our Lord for you and your personal life, that you will do great and mighty, mighty things in Christ. So why don't we stand and let's come on down and let's prepare for communion.